every chain, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Come on. Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power, and He's fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Every knee will bow. Oh, open up the gates. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save, He's here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is alive.
Oh, God. children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are.
See that it was worth it.
Come on.
When he
stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations,
oh yes,
sing worthy.
Father, we thank you today that you have brought down from heaven victory and eternal life to your people through your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And today, Jesus, we celebrate you. We honor you in this place. We exalt your name above all other names. And today, we're reminded again that no other name is given to where salvation can be experienced. And so today we thank you for that route, that avenue that we have into your presence, Lord God. After this life, we realize today, Jesus, that you are our Lord and our risen Savior, and that death is just a doorway for your people. And so we celebrate your life today. Lord, we're reminded of how gracious and awesome and merciful you have been. And Lord, today, that if you're willing to give your very life for your people, we know that you have come here today to meet all the other needs that we might be facing today. So we just give them to you right now, and we declare that in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would heal your people, that you would minister to us today, that you would give encouragement, Lord God, to those who are discouraged, that are down, that might be doubting. And Lord, we're reminded that today, greater are you that's in us than he that is in this world. And so we just worship you and we magnify you and we give you the greatest glory and the honor in this place today. We love you, Lord. It's good to be here in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise today? Can you lift your hand and say hallelujah? Hallelujah. God bless you today. So good to have you in the house of the Lord. Thank you for being here. Before you're seated, please take a moment to reach out and greet those nearby. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Again, we want to thank you for being here today. We want to welcome all of those that might be visiting for the first time. If that's you, we want to invite you and encourage you to swing by our Welcome Center located in the lobby right after service so that we can meet you, get to know you, and answer any questions that you might have, because we want to get you to come back and become part of our church family. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. Want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving to God and to all that he's doing. The drop boxes are at the back of the church, and you can also continue to give online. And I believe at this time, oh yes, we do have the angel tree up today in the lobby. That is our ministry where we purchase gifts for children who have at least one parent that's currently incarcerated. What you need to do is just swing by, grab one of those paper ornaments. It will have a name of a child on there, and you can take that with you. You can get more information about that ministry in the lobby, and then bring that back to us here in a few Sundays, and we'll get that passed on. So thank you for your attention and your help with that ministry as well. Pastor Malachi is coming, our youth pastor, to share a quick announcement.
Yes, I have an announcement tonight that I am having dinner with all the middle school boys in the house, so count yourself invited. So if you're a parent, get your middle school boy. We're going to be at El Poblano. It's going to be this way at 4:30. So you count yourself invited. It'd be so much fun. It's on us, so don't worry about it. But yeah, if you need a ride, Pastor, just let me know, and we'll get that all sorted out. Pastor Ryan will be doing that with the church bus. But just let me know. We'll figure all that out. And yep, good to see you guys.
All right, thank you, Pastor Malachi. Friends, would you stand with us once again this morning as Heidi and the worship team comes to lead us?
And I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus and
when with the ransom did glow. everybody glad? For the love of God, would you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here this morning, for wading through the blizzard today and making it to the house of God. We're so grateful to have you with us today and such a joy to worship together as the family of God. I want to begin by saying thank you to Terry Mitchell and all of her team for decorating our facilities for Christmas. Thank you, Terry. We love you and appreciate you so very much. And it's a joy to celebrate together the holiday season, the beautiful glories of Christmas. We want to remind you up front of our holiday schedule on Christmas Eve Day, which will be a Sunday this year. We'll have a morning worship service at 10 o'clock. That'll be about a 45-minute worship service. And then we'll have our Christmas Eve service, the evening service, at 5 o'clock this year due to its being on a Sunday. 10 o'clock and 5 o'clock for Christmas Eve services. There'll be different services, and so if you want to come to both, come on and join us for both. It'll be the Lord's Day after all, and if you can only make it to one service, join us to celebrate the gift of Christmas on Christmas Eve. Then New Year's Eve, Sunday morning, one service only at 10 a.m. And we will, how many of you trust me when I say we will remind you as the time approaches, and we'll send the proper notifications and those kinds of things. One service on New Year's Eve morning at 10 a.m. No evening watch night service. No overnight prayer service on New Year's Eve. None of that. Somebody said hallelujah. And but we will celebrate, and we'll celebrate high on the hog in the morning of New Year's Eve. And so we invite you to be with us for that. We want to look this morning to James chapter 3 in our Bibles as we continue our series through the book of James. And as we come today to our sixth lesson, entitled, Show Me Your Faith, number 6, by pursuing right relationships. How many of you understand this morning that our relationships with one another are very important to God? And yet, if there's any area in life where we often mess up, it's in our relationships with one another. Many people who claim to have great relationships with God have very pitiful relationships with other people. And James teaches us some good lessons this morning as we look to the Word of God together in James chapter 3, verse number 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him or her show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And everybody said amen. Amen. Today's lessons from James is about pursuing God's wisdom in our human relationships, in our decisions that affect others. And that's so vital in a world of brokenness. We live in a world today where human relationships with one another are broken all around us. In fact, the truth is many times Christians struggle just as much in their relationships with other people as do the people of this world. It seems that relationships are very difficult to cultivate in a world that is filled with the flesh and the devil. And so human relationships are an area where God deals extensively in His Word. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we find that God highly values right relationships between His people. Some people claim to be people of wisdom, and yet they really demonstrate very little wisdom in their relationships with other people. So James is going to ask two questions this morning, and the questions are these: who is really wise, number one? And question number two, what is real wisdom anyway? Because sometimes people think they're acting in wisdom when really they're acting in the opposite direction of the wisdom that God would provide to them. The truth is, James is going to reveal to us that there is a wisdom from God, and there is something that people call wisdom, which actually comes from the devil. How many of you here today want to be operating in God's wisdom, not the devil's wisdom? Would you say amen? So this morning, as we think about pursuing right relationships with the help of the wisdom of God, we begin by asking that first question: who really is a wise person? Who is really wise? The truth is, wisdom will be claimed by Christians. Many people claim to be wise. Even if they would not say it to other people, they believe themselves to be wise. And James asked the question in verse number 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Now look up at me, everybody. James is not declaring that nobody is a person of wisdom. After all, in James chapter 1, he urged us, if we lack wisdom, to call upon God and God would give us wisdom. How many here this morning would testify that there have been times in your life where God really shined through and gave you wisdom for particular situations in your life? Let your hand say amen. How many of you God has shown you what to do on occasions? How many of you God has revealed important truths to you on occasions? So God does provide his people wisdom. When it comes to human relationships, though, emotions get all tangled up in our human relationships, and in the midst of emotional situations, sometimes we struggle to get a hold of the wisdom that we need, and we need to be very careful that we're operating in God's wisdom, not a fleshly wisdom. As the NIV properly puts those quotation marks around that, such wisdom, fleshly wisdom. So James says, who is really wise and understanding among you? To some, he would say, you think you're wise in your relationships? Well, you might really be. You might really be a spiritually discerning believer. After all, as Christians who love the Lord, we are pursuing a life that is more Christ-like all the time. Could you say amen? And we are, that's our heart's desire. We want to be more like Jesus. And many Christians have really perfected the art. I say perfected at least as best as possible. Many Christians have perfected the art of being sweet and serving and loving and kind and genuine. We know people like that. We know people whom we've never heard a negative word from. I hear people say sometimes about other people, which I've never heard her say, I've never heard him say one negative thing about anybody. And we know that some people are just expert at being serving and sweet in their lives. What have they gained? They have gained the wisdom of God. They have learned to walk in wisdom in their relationships with one another. Most of us as genuine Christian believers are moving in that direction, but most of us, if not many of us, we have a ways to go before we perfect all of that process. Could you say amen? But we're moving toward that. So James says, well, who is wise and understanding? Well, many of you, many of us perhaps, are operating in the wisdom of God in our human relationships, and we thank God for that. And even in the midst of right relationships, how many of you understand that we owe a debt of gratitude to God for helping us to overcome the old fleshly nature and operate in godliness? How many of you would agree with me this morning that it doesn't come from yourself, it comes from the help of the Holy Spirit? Would you say amen? And anything that we do properly, any way in which we're living right before God, is because of the help of the Holy Spirit. So, who is wise among you? James would say to others, well, you think you're wise in your relationships? You might really be a selfishly deceived believer. You may think you're right and you're really wrong. Have you ever been there? Sure you have. You may think you're right, but you're really wrong. So here are two warnings this morning. First, we need to beware of the nature of prideful assumptions. And here are some scriptures. Proverbs 16:2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Who here today would acknowledge that most of the time you are right? And yet if we were to really think about it, we probably would come to that conclusion. We think, well, I am right most of the time. You know, that's the way human beings think. And thank God, if we're renewing our minds regularly with the Word of God, many times we are right, thank God. But in our relationships with one another, because there are so many emotional things involved in those things, relational elements involved, we often come to the conclusion, I'm right, he's wrong. I'm right, she's wrong. That's because in the natural, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. But how many of you know the Lord knows better? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2? I love this verse. This is one of my theme verses to throw out at other people. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. That's a good verse, isn't it? You think you know something? Well, even when we think we know something, how many of you know we've got a lot to learn? Look at a third verse from 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So all of us in the natural make these prideful assumptions. It's part of the old human nature. We think we're right. We think we're on firm footing. We think the decisions we make are always the best decisions. We think whenever we're in any kind of argument or disagreement with someone, we certainly think we have the upper hand and we have the better argument. That's part of the nature of human pride. But in addition to being aware of the nature of prideful assumptions, we need to be aware of the necessity of purposeful acquisition. And that means this. Look at me, everybody. That means when we think we know a lot, we really ought to recognize that we need to keep learning. And we need to keep growing. Sometimes even the most mature Christians fall into a spot of immaturity. And because of the human nature in human relationships, when even a mature believer falls into a spot of immaturity, he or she might become really irrational, really unreasonable, really unscriptural. Are you here? Sometimes we take a stubborn stand about something when if we would pause for a moment and learn and look to the scriptures and even listen to other believers, we would realize after a little bit of introspection, I'm not right in this situation. But you know what? Sometimes human pride causes us, even when we realize that, to just keep up our stubborn bluff. Are you here? To just maintain our footing. Sometimes we say, well, I've come too far to back up now. How many of you know no Christian in a relationship with another person has come too far to receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit and offer an apology? Is the house awake this morning? No, we haven't come that far. And as Christians, we need to understand that if we don't purposefully pursue the acquisition of wisdom, we're not going to be wise people. We need regular input from God's Word and from the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the scriptures here, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, He should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. That is, we do lack wisdom sometimes. We better be asking. Psalm 25:4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. We need regularly to be asking the Lord for his direction. How about Psalm 139? This is a hard one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me ask you a question, dear saints. Are you open to the revelation from the Lord that there might be something wrong in your life? Something wrong with your approach? Something within you that should be eradicated with the help of the Holy Spirit? Are you open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to the revelation of the Lord? Huh? We need that. How about Romans 12:2? We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then, everybody say then. And only then. Only when we've been transformed by the renewing of our minds, only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is. The old fleshly nature cannot determine God's will. It takes a renewed mind to discern God's will. How about Ephesians 4:22? Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds. When we're made new in our minds, that's when we can begin to operate according to God's standards. And one final verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Prepare your minds for action and be self-controlled. Look at me, everybody. Only when we have spiritually prepared our minds for action are we really capable of acting in God's will. Are you here? So we need this continual pursuit of what God wants from us, and we need to be continually growing in what God says about our relationships with other people. Wisdom will be claimed by Christians, but Christians need to be people who are constantly pursuing God's truth about human relationships. Would you say amen? And wisdom ultimately, James says, will be confirmed by Christ-likeness. James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his what? His good life. Is everybody awake today? Are you too hot today? Let him, yes and no, a double-minded church today. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Everybody say, humility comes from wisdom. So let's think about what James is saying here. James is making note of three principles here. First, wisdom is revealed by hearty associations, relationships that are marked by the power of God. Hear me now. Real wisdom from God is marked by the attitudes of God and marked by the love of God. Are you here? Many Christians are very deficient in this area. For some Christians, some of their most important relationships in life are marked by constant strife and struggle. Or some of their most important relationships in life are marked by great voids. When into those relationships they should be pouring out the love of God, there are voids there, emptinesses, things that should be happening regularly in Christian relationships that are not happening at all. Are you here? And that have not happened, perhaps, in years. Some of our most important relationships in the human realm are often marked either by strife and struggle or by great voids, where God's people are not rising to the level of demonstrating the Spirit of Christ to others. And so a person of great spiritual wisdom will realize, I must be right in my relationships with others, with family, with friends, with the body of Christ. Listen, listen. As a true Christian believer operating in the wisdom of God, I must have proper relationships even with rank strangers. Are you here? I have to be operating in the Spirit of Christ in all of my human relationships. Listen, these are great challenges. A person of great spiritual wisdom will recognize that God's two greatest commandments are not by accident. Love God passionately and love people practically and be a person of love. So wisdom is revealed by hearty associations, by great relationships. The wisdom of God helps us to build strong, healthy relationships. Could you say amen? You know, sometimes it is the case that though we may work even with the help and the power of God to build strong, healthy relationships, the other side of the coin is not cooperative. That's why the Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, as far as it depends on, as much as it is possible for you, live at peace with everybody. Even God knows that you can't live at peace with everybody if they're not willing to live at peace with you. That's true at times. But as far as we're concerned, we are called by God to be peacemakers. Amen. And so people of great spiritual wisdom recognize that God's commands about human relationships are important. Secondly, wisdom is revealed by helpful actions and activities, speaking and doing things that build up and don't tear down. Our relationships with others, our input is healing and helping, not hurting. And so wisdom is revealed by helpful things. And thirdly, wisdom is revealed by humble attitudes. The attitudes of humility. Humility says it's not all about me. I don't know everything, and I'm not everything. Others around me are important. They're worthy of my investment. I don't have to be the star. And by the way, I need others. Huh? And by the way, humility says, and I'm grateful for others. Huh? Where would you be if it had not been for people who invested into your life down through the years of time? Are you here? Everybody who's anything and does anything good for the Lord has a long list of people to whom they owe a debt of gratitude. I thank God for these who helped me get through the early stages. Several years ago on one of my anniversaries in the ministry, it was the anniversary of my ordination years ago, I went through a process of determining a long list of people to whom I owe everything that I am and have in the ministry. And I marked down the list. I marked down a lot of marked down the names of people whom I really do not like. Some of those relationships are long since over because of the tide of time and circumstance. But I recognize that even relationships I've had which were difficult relationships, that there are people to whom I owe a great debt of gratitude for everything I've ever been able to accomplish in the ministry. That's true for everybody who is anything and does anything and accomplishes anything for the Lord. We owe a debt of gratitude to a whole lot of people, don't we? We are, and we're grateful. Humility is grateful to other people and for other people. Most of all, humility says we all need God. We all need God equally. We all need God desperately. We all need God daily. And humility recognizes we need God's wisdom. Are you listening? We need God's wisdom in all of our human relationships. They are, listen, human relationships are tricky. Are you here? They are tricky. Human relationships are laden with pitfalls and traps. Are you here? You know what that is. You say one wrong sentence and it creates World War III in the home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are pitfalls and traps that are just absolutely woven through human relationships. We need great wisdom to develop healthy, wholesome relationships as the people of God. We need that. We can't take that for granted. Without wisdom, attitudes and words and actions can quickly go astray and lead us, James says, to chaos. That's the truth. So James says, well, who is really wise? It's the one who recognizes in humility that we need God's word in all of these relationships. The second question, and James sort of does a repeat, I think, in this passage. He sort of states it one way, then lays it out another way. So this is a little bit, this is a little bit redundant here. But James then asks the question, well, what is real wisdom anyway? Who is really wise? And secondly, what is real wisdom? And James reveals two truths to us. One, there is a devilish wisdom and we need to reject it. If not careful, we can actually think we're wise and right when we're really dead wrong spiritually. Are you here? And many people walk on and live on for long lengths of time in that devilish wisdom. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And all the while they're wrong. And sometimes they have never learned the principle that two wrongs don't make a right. And that even though they may have been right about a particular instance or situation, their response over the last 5 years to that situation has been dead wrong. Are you here? Sometimes people, even in an attempt to be spiritual, think that some kind of a bitterness or anger or unforgiveness is some kind of a righteous indignation about something that endures over time and breaks down relationships and ruins situations. And they move on in the wrong spirit. Maybe what was done to them was indeed wrong. But their response is a second wrong. And their response has been displeasing to God. And even Jesus taught us if we don't forgive others when they sin against us, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us when we sin against Him. And how many of you here today have ever needed the forgiveness of your Heavenly Father? Put up both hands if you're like me. We need that. And yet, if we're not careful, a devilish wisdom can lead us and guide our responses and our reactions. James 3:14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have, and here are the two primary words again, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. What does the devil's wisdom look like in our human relationships? Here are four marks. One, the devil's wisdom is reeking with selfishness and sensuality. James calls it bitter envy, selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition? Selfish ambition is wanting what you want in your own fleshly desire. I want what I want. No matter what anybody else wants, and no matter what anybody else thinks, I want what I want. That's selfish ambition. And it's all about self. It craves and it covets, and selfishness rises up within us. Have you ever experienced selfishness? Have you? I'm just testing out the honesty of my congregation this morning. Have you ever experienced selfishness? Sure you have. And so have I. That's part of the human nature before Christ gets a hold of it. And unfortunately, sometimes even after Christ has gotten a hold of it, we haven't given him a good enough hold. And selfishness rises. So devilish wisdom is always selfish. It's about me. Secondly, devilish wisdom is replete with boasting and bullying. Listen to what verse 14 says. Verse 14 speaks about boasting about self. It's pride, it's arrogance, it's moving to, it moves us towards selfish manipulation and maneuvering. With devilish wisdom, dare I say this? Devilish wisdom helps us know how to get ahead through manipulation and maneuvering. And how many of you know you can get ahead in the natural by bullying everybody and bulldozering your way through? How many of you know there are natural human tactics that can get you ahead in the view of the world that are diametrically opposed to the ways of God? Yeah. That's what we're talking about when we talk about stepping on everybody as we climb up the ladder to success. Are you here? Bullying and boasting. Thirdly, devilish wisdom is restricted to earthly evaluations. Such attitudes are earthly, verse 15 says. They don't see the big picture and they don't see the long view and they don't prize what God prizes. Always trying to get ahead, always trying to get their way, always trying to take advantage, always trying to exercise their own rights. These attitudes forget the example of Jesus who came to serve and to give his life. And they forget one of Jesus' greatest teachings. The greatest among you will be your, servant. The greatest among you will be your servant. That's what Jesus taught us, and that's what Jesus exemplified. Devilish wisdom is rooted in devilish deception. The true source of selfish wisdom is the devil. It wants to destroy. Listen, the devil wants to destroy all of your human relationships. Are you here? God wants you to build healthy, wholesome, fruitful relationships. That's true from the entirety of his word. But the devil wants to destroy all of your relationships. Are you here this morning? The devil wants you to be, the devil wants your home to be filled with absolute chaos and strife. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants your relationships with other people to be so broken that you can never work together for the kingdom of God. You can never enjoy the peace of God and the joy of the Lord that he came to give. The devil's wisdom wants to break everything in your life and cause you to stand there alone with all of your relationships broken. And when James says that there is deception involved here, we'd better be careful as Christian believers. You know, Jesus said that in the last days, and I hope I'm not taking this scripture too much out of context, I don't think so, but Jesus said that in the last days, even the elect, even the chosen people of God would be deceived if possible. And that certainly is true about a variety of categories. It's true here in James. If we're not careful, we'll be deceived about our own human relationships with other people. Deceived into thinking we're right, and this is the right course to take when we haven't taken the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit into consideration. I tell you, friends, we need the help of the Holy Spirit far more than we ever think we do. Are you here? Jesus said, when I leave here, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And notice, Jesus said that one of the most remarkable things I think Jesus ever said was this. If I don't leave, Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And so you need him so much that I'm going to go ahead and go to heaven so I can send the Holy Spirit. That's a remarkable statement. That tells you just how much we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Are you here? Because again, things are tricky and difficult as we walk through this life. Devilish wisdom is deception, and ultimately devilish wisdom results in chaos and corruption. Verse 16 says, where you have all that selfish junk, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Your relationships will all be messed up, and sin will have a heyday. Have you ever known anybody who was just born to fight in their personality? They're just born to fight. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm a lover, not a fighter? Notice not too many people say that, because a lot of people are just born fighters. They'd rather have a good fight than anything. I've learned in life that some people actually exist and feed on the negative drama that's all around about them. They feed on that. Listen to me. The only way a person can enjoy all of that strife and wicked drama is if their hearts aren't completely committed to Christ. There's just no way. There's no way a person can enjoy all of that chaos and strife if they're really living for Jesus. So we need the help of the Lord. Could you say amen? And we need to reject that devilish wisdom, and ultimately there's a divine wisdom and we need to receive it. And James sort of gives us the opposite picture here. Is everybody still awakened with me? Say amen. Amen. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all, say it with me, pure, then what? Peace loving, then considerate, then what? Is that in there? Submissive, then what? Full of mercy and good fruit. Then what? Impartial and sincere. Those are the marks of God's wisdom when it comes to human relationships. Look at those words again. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive. What does that mean? That means sometimes I have to lay aside my own prerogatives and desires in order to serve others, right? Submissive. I have to yield. Now, I know you people in Jefferson City, you're used to the roundabouts in Jefferson City where nobody wants to yield. I have found there are two responses to roundabouts in Jefferson City. Either people don't yield at all, or they stop for 25 minutes. Is that not true? There are some roundabouts in Jefferson City, and you know nobody has right of way at a roundabout except the person who is in the roundabout. Am I right? This is traffic lesson 101 today. And yet there are some intersections, some roundabouts in town where if you're coming from a particular street, you better watch out, because the cross traffic thinks they always have the right of way. And people will come through that roundabout like this. Watch me now, watch me now, watch me now. Vroom, vroom. Let me do that again. Vroom, vroom. And you better just watch out and get out of the way. Yielding is pausing to let somebody else go ahead of you. Oh, is that what that is? Yeah. I think next week I'll preach about traffic, the whole sermon. It'll be a long sermon. Submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. Well, look at what the scripture says this divine wisdom looks like. God's wisdom is pure in its motivation. In other words, it doesn't have any hidden desire to harm somebody else. Are you here? No hidden desire to harm somebody else. Okay. Two, God's wisdom is peacemaking in its mission. And when we work to bring peace in all of our relationships, I'll tell you, we're the better off for it too, aren't we? How many of you know peace is sweet? Yeah. He said, well, Pastor, I like a good fight every now and then. No, lay it down, buddy. Lay it down and be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Wisdom is peacemaking in its mission. Now, we must recognize that wisdom in relationships is marked by how it impacts and influences others. And when peace comes as a result of our actions and our lifestyle, that's a good thing. Sometimes, listen, sometimes there is a need for this thing that we always want to call tough love. And we have to speak the truth in love, right? We have to make decisions that are godly even when others don't agree with that. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about building relationships with one another. God's wisdom is peacemaking. Thirdly, God's wisdom is packed with mercy. Mercy. Mercy is giving other people space. It's giving other people the benefit of the doubt, right? Mercy is being forgiving and patient and kind with others. Mercy. How we have needed the mercy of God and how we are called to show mercy to others. And fourthly, God's wisdom is productive and medicinal. In other words, it always works to help and to heal. Everybody say, I want to help and I want to heal. Say that out loud. I want to help and I want to heal. I urge you this morning to apply that to all of your relationships with other people. James here is urging us in the middle of his little book to get our relationships with people straightened out by pursuing the wisdom of God. God, give us wisdom for that and help us to be people who help and heal. Amen? There are three simple and very generic action assignments today. Most of my action assignments are 10 times longer than this and much more complicated. But how many of you know our human relationships are complicated enough and we need simple application processes? So here they are. One, when it comes to our relationships with others, number one, we have got to be people who feast on the scriptures. If we're not filled with the word of God, we'll never have the wisdom of God. We need God's word on the matter. Could you say amen? Amen? Feast on the scriptures. Here we are at the end of the year again. Can you believe it? We're almost to the end of another year. It seems like we were just here. And we were. And we just all keep getting older, don't we? Yeah. And here we are. I want to urge you this morning again, as I often do, to be a person who dedicates your life to the reading of God's word on a regular basis. Would you, if you have not yet started this process, would you consider on January 1, you can start a little early if you want, but would you consider on January 1 starting a journey through the whole Bible in 2024? All of our pastors on staff have been required for many, many years to read the Bible through at least once every year. And many of our pastors through the years have chosen to read much more than one read through of the Bible in a calendar year. I know you love the 23rd Psalm and you want to camp there for 6 months, but if you camp in the 23rd Psalm for 6 months, you'll miss out on Psalm 24. Are you here? So the answer is just give a little more time to it. Camp in Psalm 23 and read the Bible through also. Could you say a good amen? Amen. Get involved and feast on the scripture. The second application point today is this. Number two, focus on spiritual surrender and sweet-spirited submission. How can I lower myself in my human relationships? Some of you have relationships right now with people that are so messed up, you need a miracle of God. You need a miracle. Some of you, your home is about to break up maybe. Some of you, your relationship with your own family members is so messed up and broken that it's just a tragedy. Some of you here, your relationship, even with unbelievers and strangers, your relationships with them are so broken because you're not a person of kindness. You're not a person of love. You're a rude person. Some of you, you're a rude person. Some of you, you're demanding and harsh toward people you don't even know. Are you listening to me this morning? Some of you here this morning, your relationships with people are really messed up and displeasing to God. And God calls us to straighten those relationships out. And can I tell you this morning that straightening most relationships out will not be accomplished by praying that God will change the other person. I know that's what we want to do, but that's not usually the answer, huh? Usually the answer is right staring at you in the mirror. As we said a little bit ago, not every relationship can be healed and healthy. But as far as it depends on us, we ought to move in that direction. Could you say amen? Amen. And that happens as we humble ourselves and focus on spiritual surrender to the Lord and sweet-spirited submission to one another, serving one another. And the third application is simply this. Learn to flow in the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit on a regular basis to convict us and to guide us, right? And when it comes to our human relationships, let's ask the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, Holy Spirit, help me today. Not to speak before I give you time to help me know what I'm saying. Yeah? Help me to be guarded and governed by the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And help me, Lord God, to flow in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because again, relationships are really complicated, and we need the wisdom of God. Amen.